Terry and Jesse show. My name is Jesse Romero. Terry's out doing some apostolic work. You know, I was looking at a crucifix right now before the show, just staring upon our Lord on a crucifix, and I was thinking about the wood on his back, the crown of thorns on his head, his 5 bleeding wounds, and guess what? He was thinking about me. He was thinking about you. You were on his mind. Today's the month of October. We're still in October for the next couple of days. October is the month which the Catholic Church dedicates to the Holy Rosary, which is a devotion which Our Lady loves, and she's asked us to pray every single day in many approved Marian apparitions to like St. Dominic de Guzman, Blessed Alan de la Roche, St. Bernadette of Subaru, Blessed Jacinta, Blessed Francesco, Sister Lucia, St. Louis de Montfort. Popes throughout the centuries have endorsed and encouraged Catholics to pray the Rosary every single day to the Mother of God, especially right now after Fatima, so that we can stop the spread of communism, the spread of Russia's errors, which is communism, atheism, and abortion. Got a couple of good things that I want to talk about today. We have a great interview with an author by the name of Devin Schott. He wrote this book. It's called Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. We're going to be talking to him. It's a TAN book. It just came out a few weeks ago. Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. So we'll be talking to Devin, who's the author of the book, in the next segment. Also, want to mention a couple of good news items before we get into the gospel of the day. By the way, we also have Michael Voris, or Brad Eli, should I say, today from Church Militant. On the fourth segment, we call that our Strength and Honor segment. They're like the internal affairs of the Catholic Church. That's exactly what they are. A couple of good news items, or for your good news file. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York said that human rights begin in the womb. And again, as Catholics, you know, lay Catholics, sometimes I criticize some of our prelates for making statements that don't comport with Catholic teaching. But when they say something that's right on and spot on, we have to also shout it from the rooftops. So again, Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York, he said human rights begin in the womb. Here's what he exactly said, quote, "I propose violence will not end until we stop the presumed untouchable radical abortion license that seems to have captivated a segment of our society," wrote Cardinal Timothy Dolan. I heard Rush Limbaugh, rest in peace, he said that years ago as well, 20 years ago, that violence in America is not going to stop until abortion stops. I also heard somebody that trumps both of these individuals, Rush Limbaugh and Cardinal Dolan, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She also said the same thing, that violence will not stop until abortion stops. So Cardinal Dolan, Rush Limbaugh, and St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, they're all saying the same thing. And by the way, all three of them were Catholic, just for your need-to-know file. Here's another good news file. There's two sisters who became nuns. This is beautiful. What a beautiful story. Lourdes and Gloria Salgado are the youngest of 7 children, and both of them are entering religious life. Praise God. Here's what one of the sisters said. I'm infinitely grateful to God and his church. I don't deserve this life. It's only by his mercy that I can live my religious vocation. I want to live forever serving him, said Lourdes. What a beautiful, beautiful story. Two nuns that have been called to the religious life to become holy nuns from the same family, from the same large family. What a beautiful story. Again, you definitely want to stay tuned. For those of you that are reading this book, Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph, I've got the author, Devin Schott. He's going to be coming on in the next couple of minutes. You definitely want to hear what he has to say about the book and all the insights that he has to tell us about St. Joseph. Remember, we're still in the year of St. Joseph, and so untold graces are being unleashed upon the earth and upon those people that make a consecration to St. Joseph. Okay, let me go to our soul food section here. Today's gospel, the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Jesus passed through towns and villages teaching. Ah, teaching. Notice, that's, by the way, that's exactly the job of a bishop, is to teach, govern, and sanctify. Obviously, to teach the truth about the Catholic faith. But you see it right there. It's in Luke's gospel today. Jesus' job was to teach, and he gave that job now to the 12 apostles, and the bishops are the successors of the apostles. It goes on to say, someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? Woo, this is the million-dollar question. Will only a few people be saved? Our Lord says, he answered them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And the people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at this gospel today, kind of from 30,000 feet in the air, what's going on here is we know that the Jews are the chosen people of God. From the Old Testament, the Jews are the chosen people of God. And here our Lord is telling the Jews, because you reject me, you reject my gospel, now the Gentiles, who you call dirty, you call them pigs, you call them the Goyim, now the Gentiles are going to be called to take your place at the banquet table because you reject my message, you reject the good news that I've come down from heaven to give you. A couple of other things our Lord has asked about how many people can be saved, and he says in verse 24, he says, strive to enter by the narrow door. Well, so what does that mean? Although the Jews were heirs to the kingdom, the impenitent Jews or the impenitent Israelites are going to be shut out from God's blessings and his kingdom if they don't repent. He also talks about here, depart from me in verse 27. Again, this whole narrow door that Christ talks about, salvation depends first on God's grace, then on our cooperation and obedience to the gospel. So Jesus is stressing here about the narrow door, about the difficulties of the spiritual life, where few, notice, few will enter into heaven. Few will enter God's glory while the door remains open. And when he says in verse 27, depart from me, although the Jews are heirs to the kingdom of heaven, if they don't repent, and that goes for all of us, if we don't repent, what the church calls final impenitence, then that person consigns himself to hell. He shuts himself out of heaven. Our Lord also talks about people that are going to be weeping and gnashing. Some people will be weeping and gnashing. This describes the suffering of the damned souls in hell. And our Lord also tells us that men will come from the east and west and from the north and south. So what does that mean? It means that our Lord Jesus Christ is inviting his family from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the great patriarchs and saints. And Jesus, what he's doing here, he's evoking Old Testament prophecies that depict Yahweh regathering the exiled children of Israel from the four corners of the world. And so the celebration banquet is going to include in heaven those Israelites and Gentiles in the one family of God, those that accepted and followed Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as their Lord and Savior. So, here's something else I just want to mention. I think it would be, it's kind of interesting. I was looking at an old book of mine by Dr. Peter Kraft. And if you want to understand the time that we're living in right now, you have to understand the way salvation history and damnation history works. And what does that mean? All human history goes through six phases, and it continues, this endless cycle repeats itself until the second coming of Christ. What are the six phases of human history, according to Dr. Peter Kraft? Well, all you got to do is look at Israel, and you can see Israel, they would go into a time of blessedness. They would be blessed. Then they would move into luxury, number two. And then luxury, the Israelites would move into pride. And as a result of pride, there would be disaster, consequence. And as a result of the disaster, there would be suffering. And suffering would lead them back into the repentance. And repentance would lead them back into a blessed relationship with God. These are the six endless cycles of salvation history. We're going through them. A time of blessing. Then America went into a time of luxury. Then pride. Then disaster because we turned away from God. And now we're suffering. Now we have to go back to repentance, corporate repentance and individual repentance. And then God will take us into a time of blessing and fellowship once again. This is the story of salvation and damnation history. The endless cycle that repeats itself until the second coming of Christ. Up next, we've got Devin Schott up next, author of Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The Terry and Jesse Show. My partner Terry's out doing some apostolic work. And right now, I think we have the author of Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. Mr. Engineer, do we have Devin?
I'm here.
Devin, how are you? My name is Jesse Romero. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. It's great. I can see you. So I can see you and hear you. You look great.
Okay. I can't see you, but that's fine. As long as I can hear your voice, that's great. Devin, I've been wanting to get a hold of you. We have mutual friends over at 10, and you've done a great work for the Catholic Church, especially right now in light of the fact that we're still in the year of St. Joseph. You just hit it out of the park with this book. I just want to, first of all, congratulate you because you've done a yeoman's job by giving us this book, Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. So, Devin, tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you a cradle Catholic? Are you a convert? When did you have this your awakening, your encounter with Christ, and what led you to write the book?
Yeah. So, yes, I was baptized Catholic, but my dad was not Catholic. My mom converted to Catholicism, but I did not know the Lord. In fact, it wasn't until after living a lifestyle of doing terrible things, robbery, a lot of thieving, partying, just you name it. At the age of 24, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, had a kind of wild conversion experience. Crazy. And then that changed everything. And then shortly after, Jesse, I actually heard you speak probably one of the first times. It was at a Catholic Defense conference in Rockford, man. You were cranking it out. You had this like litany of why God was so great. So it was like probably 2 years after I gave my life to Christ, I heard that exhilarating talk. But yeah, so I gave my life to Christ at the age of 24. And wow. I'm not a big fan of the conversion stories where everything is perfect right afterwards, because that's not the way my life worked.
And
I've
either.
Had multiple conversion experiences through the years. But but one thing I realized very quickly as after my conversion or surrendering my life to Jesus Christ was, where are all the men? I was attending prayer groups. There's a lot of women, a lot of ladies, a lot of rosary and altar groups, but there were no guys. And that really bothered me. And then not only on top of that, but then once I got married and we started having children, I realized I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't know what it meant to be a real man. I didn't understand marriage. I didn't know how to love my wife. I didn't know how to raise children. And then I got into a dark place. I had cancer, lost my job. My third daughter ended up on life support when she was shortly after she was born. She had suffered permanent brain injury and my world was falling apart. God took me out to the shed. but he doesn't take you out to the shed without wanting to teach you a lesson. And the lesson was, is that I needed to get my act together and get my head out of my butt and really figure out what it means to be a good Christian man, because this world needs it. My family needs it. My wife needs it. And it was time for me to step up.
You know what? I've heard in your words right now, the fact that you understand that men have a duty. We're duty bound by Christ to become the Saint Josephs of our family and to become as holy as possible for the sake of everybody in the domestic church. That's what I hear resonating from your words right now. So you're the author of this book. It's called Custos, Total Consecration Through Saint Joseph. First of all, a lot of people probably ask you, hey, Devin, what does Custos mean?
Well, yeah, Custos means guardian, or actually, yeah, guardian or custodian. And Latin, remember, right? John Paul II wrote that apostolic letter on St. Joseph, Redemptoris Custos, about St. Joseph. And so where Adam was called to be the Custos of the garden, and the garden is a symbol of woman as well in the domestic life, he failed, right? He allowed the serpent to enter the garden. He didn't defend her. He wasn't the Custos. Well, that's where St. Joseph, a type of Adam, we know he's a son of Adam, he's son of David. He steps in and he becomes this Custos, this guardian, this protector of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He keeps her from being stoned when she's discovered pregnant prior to the solemnization, the second part of Jewish marriage. And he defends the Christ child. And so then he becomes this Custos of the family. He becomes this Custos of the Blessed Virgin Mary, of Jesus. But not only that, and I think this is interesting, without knowing it, Joseph became the Custos of the image of the Trinity in the family. That's what every family is supposed to be, is an image of the triune God, the self-giving love of the Trinity. And St. Joseph was that, the first prototype or archetype of the Trinity in a human family, in a human form, was his family, and he protected that. And that's what every man is called to do.
Amen. Devin, I like the fact that you said very early on, a lot of people think that once they surrender their life to Christ, that things are going to be hunky-dory. And the fact is, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Now it's time to pick up your cross and follow him. And I think this is a very practical book that you wrote, because St. Joseph, he had a life full of crosses. In fact, he never said anything in the New Testament, but just the fact that he was always, you know, trying to hide Mary from being stoned and hiding our Lord Jesus Christ from King Herod, and taking these 100-mile walks over to Jerusalem a couple of times a year, this guy was a man's man. So let me ask you, what was your motivation for writing Custos? And by the way, Custos is Latin, correct?
Yes, Latin.
The official language of the church. So what was your motivation for writing Custos?
Yeah, so years ago, I actually wrote it probably about 4 years ago, and it was intended to be, so there's so much literature on St. Joseph. There's so much, in a sense, hyperbole. I think a lot of times what we do is we make a saint, or the church proclaims someone a saint, and then we take them and we paste on every virtue upon them. Okay, so we take patience and we say, well, Joseph was the most patient ever, but we don't do our biblical exegesis as to why. And so for me, it was, I wanted to know Jesus or Joseph through the scriptures. So the 33 days were walking shoulder to shoulder or in St. Joseph's footsteps biblically from beginning to end, not any kind of, you know, like what this saint or mystic might have said, but what do the scriptures, what does God say? What does divine revelation say about St. Joseph? So I wanted to follow him over the course of 33 days. The other thing about this is I wanted to live a life where I was living the practices of St. Joseph. And really I guess if I was to boil this down, why does this book exist? Is because I want men to live the spirituality of St. Joseph. I don't want men to do a program. I don't want men to get excited about a talk and go back home and then, you know, get involved in pornography or have an affair or just be lazy. I want guys to live a spirituality that's based on St. Joseph's spirituality and his four pillars, which is basically embracing silence, embracing woman, embracing the child, embracing charitable authority. That's the reason I wrote the book.
Wow. So why do you think Custos is so important today in our day and age, and what St. John Paul II has called the culture of death? Why do you think custos is so relevant and so important right now?
Well, we've lost our way for sure. And like you were just talking about Peter Kraft and talking about the six cycles, and that the destruction and the suffering, you know, like you look at the Jews in Babylon and all that, we're not even in the suffering stage yet. I don't believe it. I think it's yet to come and it's going to be terrible. And the destruction, the suffering is going to come. And finally, we will come to our knees. But here's why we need custos, is because men are effeminate. They're soft. They don't know what it means to be a man. They don't know how to work. They don't understand their role. And here's the big deal.
Hey, Devin, tell me how you really feel, buddy.
Here's the big deal, though. We've lost touch with the idea of our vocation is where we discover our identity, and our identity leads to our destiny. And so I can try to find my identity in being in my job, in my work. You know, you may be a financial advisor. You might be a university professor. You might be a garbage man, but that's transient and that will change. But your vocation as a husband and a father, that will not change. And that will be what you're judged on. And so that's your call. Vocation comes from that Latin word vox. That's the voice. That's the voice of God calling us on our journey to him. And that, so our identity as a father, as a husband, is the beginning of that journey. And we got to follow that path of our vocation to our destiny. And this is why custos is so essential, is because it gives guys a roadmap and also a way to live that roadmap to actually understand their identity and to achieve their destiny.
Amen. Hey, Devin, what you just said, it just triggered something. C.S. Lewis, read years ago, he said that we have a society of men without chests.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Men without chests. Men without
valor. What a great quote.
Yeah. I heard that years ago and I jotted it down on my notes. So what makes this different from other consecrations? Because there's other good consecrations out there. What makes Devin Schott's consecration custos, total consecration, that I say, what makes it different or unique?
Okay, so what makes custos unique is that it's not just a series of reflections over 33 days, like you just learn about something or someone. What it is custos is divided into seven stages. And so each stage, you not only read a reflection each day, but at each of the stages, you select spiritual practices, one, two, or all the suggested spiritual practices, and you begin to try to live a spirituality. And so after stage one is done and you've lived those spiritual practices, you don't let them go. They compile with the next stage of spiritual practices and then the next stages. So by day 33, you have a blueprint, a spiritual blueprint for your life. You actually have learned how to pray. You've learned how to embrace your wife. You've learned how to embrace your child. You've learned how to build your domestic church. You've learned how to work for God and live the liturgical life, et cetera, et cetera. And so you're actually living it. So not only are there reflections you do every day, but for each stage, you have one, two, maybe five spiritual practices that you're taking on, you're living, you're exercising those spiritual muscles, and you're renewing your marriage, you're renewing your fatherhood, and you're actually getting a blueprint. So by day 33, it's not just the end. It's the beginning of living this spirituality, this way of life.
By the way, we're talking to Devin Schott. He's the author of this book, Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. You can pick it up from tanbooks.com. Christmas is right around the corner. This is definitely a book you want to stock up on, and you want to give it to every man in your house. He doesn't Amen. Have to be Catholic. I don't care if he's not Catholic. The fact is, the Catholic Church has a universal message. So once again, we're talking with the author of this book, Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. It was released by Tan several weeks ago. This book here needs to be in the bedside of every Catholic man in America. Pick up a couple of these books, a couple. Give them out for Christmas. This is exactly where the war is at. And the devil knows that he can wipe out the family. He can wipe out the children by going after the father. By taking dad out, he can wipe out the family. And Devin Schott has done a great, great service to the Catholic Church. We're going to continue asking him questions about his incredible book. This is what I would call a weapon of mass instruction. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're talking with Devin Schott. He's the author of Custo's Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. This book is a weapon of mass instruction. And in fact, books like this are very powerful against the diabolical. St. John Chrysostom says, for if foul speech defiles and invites demons, it is clear that spiritual reading sanctifies and draws down the grace of the Holy Spirit upon the reader. Catholics, we have to read good books. Read good books, especially books that build up men, build up patriarchy. This is exactly the fight in America right now. We got socialist forces that are trying to destroy patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And now we have a book here that gives us the proper understanding of patriarchy. We're talking with Devin Schott. The book, you could pick it up from 10books.com, 10books.com. That's basically, you know that you, it's, those are authentic Catholic books that you can trust. So Devin, what's the significance of St. Joseph for our church today?
Oh my gosh. Well, let's just put this, let's bounce off or piggyback on what you're saying here. Socialism, Marxism, you know, hedonism, we're in it. It is taking over. And I don't know if you've heard of Kate Millett. She was one of the founders of NOW, the New Organization of Women, in the late 60s. Mm. And she would begin her rallies with the following chant. She'd say, why are we here today? To create a revolution. What kind of a revolution? The cultural revolution. That's Marxism. And how do we create the cultural revolution? By destroying the American patriarch. How do we destroy the American patriarch? By destroying the American family. How do we destroy the American family? By destroying monogamy. How do we destroy monogamy? By introducing promiscuity, sexual perversion, homosexuality, and pornography. And welcome to the world we live in. And Jesus said in Mark 3, he says, if you want to bind this, if you want to plunder the strong man's house and have his goods, you've got to bind the strong man. And so why is St. Joseph so relevant for our age, for our time? It's because he is the strong man of the house, of the church.
Right.
Okay. And yeah. We, if we live his spirituality, then we can be the strong man of the house. We can be the patriarchs. That's oikodespotes in the Latin, or in the Greek, I'm sorry, the pater familias in the Latin. And that phrase, oikodespotes, is only used 12 times in the entire Bible, 10 times all by Christ himself. 10 times Christ refers to himself as the ruler of the house, but twice regarding the earthly father. So we are the oikodespotes, the pater familias, the patriarch who needs to guard his house, protect his house. And how's he going to do that? Simply by looking to St. Joseph and understanding how he lived, his spirituality. And that's why Custos is so important, because it outlines in a way St. Joseph's spirituality, but brings it into the 2000s. How do we live it today?
Well, you said a mouthful, Devin. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We got author Devin Schott from the book is called Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph. It's a 10 release. And let me tell you, this book is a, it's not like, I don't recommend this book. I don't, you know, I'm not like, you know, nudging you. This is a must read. This is the fight that we're in right now. The culture of life versus the culture of death. We have patriarchy established by God, and a proper understanding of patriarchy is in this book. This book doesn't push, you know, Mexican cartel machismo. This doesn't promote Islamic terrorism, masculinity, you know. No, this is authentic, godly, male spirituality according to the Old and New Testament precepts. And so this young man has done us a great service. Now, Devin, you've got this broken down. And I noticed when I received my book, it's so easy the way you broke it down, because I like especially the chart that comes inside the book where you talk about, again, the seven stages, which, again, seven is the number of God. And then you got the 33 practices. Well, talk to us a little bit about the seven stages and the 33 days, and give us basically a synopsis of how they interrelate.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So each stage builds upon the preceding stage. And so the first stage is embracing silence. We know that Joseph was a man of silence. Not one word of his in scripture is recorded, yet his silence speaks profoundly of the greatness of fatherhood. We see through his silent example, his heroism, his sacrificial responsibility. And so what St. Joseph really teaches us is, and in fact, when he discovered Mary pregnant without his cooperation, the first thing he did was he entered the silence. And he was so deeply spiritual and mystical that he was capable of hearing the angels' voices or the angels' voice directing him. And so if we want direction in our life, we've got to learn to embrace silence. And so that's the first stage. And so there's practices like daily morning offering, daily litany of St. Joseph, but then there's like harder ones, like 15 minutes of morning prayer with 5 minutes of silence. And I tell you what, you might think that doesn't sound that difficult. Do it every day and try to listen to God for 5 minutes in silence. But the great thing about it is eventually you'll begin to discern his voice. Stage two is embracing secret sacrifice, because we know that prayer without sacrifice is lip service. And so we got to mean what we say and say what we mean by praying, but praying with sacrifice. And so we've got, you know, taking on one daily hidden sacrifice, not telling everybody what you're doing, not complaining and grumbling about it, but giving God, Jesus, those hidden sacrifices, like the servants gave him the water that he could transform into wine, because that's what Jesus does with our hidden sacrifices. He transforms them into new wine, grace for our family, for others, and the people around us. Then stage three, we have embrace your wife. So now that we understand prayer, we're living sacrificially. Now we can apply it to our vocation personally, because personal transformation must lead to relational transformation. Who I am on the inside must take effect on the outside in my wife, my marriage, my children, my family. So embrace your wife, a weekly date night, pray with your wife, one daily act of affirmation for your wife, et cetera, et cetera. And then stage four is embrace your child. So take your son, your daughter out on a man date or a daughter date, one daily act of encouragement. Protect your children, install internet filtration system, bless your wife, bless your children daily. That's huge. Bless them daily. Ask for God's favor to be upon them.
You're one of the first Catholic men I've heard say that outside of myself. And I'm glad that, more people are now talking about the power of blessing those under your authority, your wife and your children. I'm so glad you've mentioned that, because this is an area that we Catholic men have simply forgotten. And I'm just glad to hear that there's another voice out there telling men, bless your family with the Trinitarian formula. You're the priest of the home.
Amen.
Thanks for joining the chorus there, Devin. Continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what we've forgotten is that we have a power endowed to us. We are icons of God the Father because of our baptism in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This rule of fatherhood isn't something biological, it's spiritual. And God has imparted us the power, because of our authoritative office as father of the family, to be able to bless our wife and children. And that blessing is real.
Yep.
And my children long for it. They come to me asking for it at night. My wife, she receives it. At first, it was a little awkward, but man, now it's so natural. And I can see God working through that blessing. And it's interesting, because in that moment, you become the face, the voice, and the touch of the Heavenly Father that they cannot feel, see, or hear simultaneously. So stage five is build your domestic church. Start to have family dinner again. So many families are not eating dinner together, but that's where all the great conversations, happen. That's where we can actually deprogram our children after they get all the bad stuff at school. That's where we can talk to them about the faith. And it's beautiful, because family dinner is really kind of like a symbol of what's happening at the Mass. The father of the family gathers his family around food. We bless and thank God. And then God pours down his blessing. That's what happens in Mass. The Heavenly Father gathers us around his food, his son. We receive that food. We receive the blessing. And we receive his grace in us. And I think there's a direct correlation between the demise and the decline of family dinner attendance and the mass. It's almost perfectly it's the same ratio. As we've seen family dinner decline, we've seen attendance at mass decline. And so that Sunday gospel reflection with your family. Stage six is live the liturgical life. Begin to have one holy hour a week. You know, celebrate feast days with your family. We love doing that. Get out the, you know, the cake, the ice cream, whatever it is, and celebrate St. Francis of Assisi's feast day, St. Dominic, whoever, and make the church not just about fasting and mortification, but make it about joy and feasting. Because you got to have fasting, you got to have feasting. It's both and, just like the soul and the body are one. And last stage is work for God. Understand that you're not defined by your occupation. You're defined by your vocation. Your occupation is at the service of your vocation. So we need to bring our children into our work. We need to teach them how to work. We need to work side by side, but we need to sanctify our work by offering up to God. So anyway, there's all these practices here, and they build and compile upon one another, but they really give you a spiritual blueprint to live a life of sanctity, a life of holiness, a life of heroic sacrificial responsibility.
Devin, I have to tell you, brother, I've never met you before, but you're a gift to the Catholic Church.
Thank you.
I'm just sitting here right now. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm teary-eyed because I'm hearing a young man right now that gets it. You get it. And I'm listening to a young man right now. You sound like William Wallace in Braveheart. And I just hope that your book makes a lot of young men a bunch of St. Joseph's or a bunch of William Wallace's, because we need a lot of young people that get it like you do. This incredible book, Custos, Total Consecration Through St. Joseph, you need to get the book now. Devin, we'll have to do this again, brother.
I would love it.
Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll keep in touch. And just know that God is smiling upon you. You've done a great work for Holy Mother Church.
Thank you, Jesse. Great to be on your show.
All righty. Up next, got a segment with Church Militant Brad Eli talking about the issues of the day. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, we'd be millionaires. Remember, the month of October is the month of the Holy Rosary. We need to pray the Rosary every single day. If you're not praying the Rosary, you're not part of Team Jesus. We've got, I can't see him, but I think we got Brad Eli from Church Militant. Brad, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're trying to connect with Church Militant right now. Brad, this is Jesse Romero. Can you hear me? Okay, well, I'll wait for my engineer to tell me when Brad comes on. Every single Wednesday for the fourth segment.
Am I turning that off when I push it in?
No.
Yeah, I can hear you, Brad. Brad, I can hear you.
They can hear you?
Yep, I can hear you, Brad.
I still can't hear anything yet.
Is that piece
here?
Talk? We got, hello? Yeah, we're having technical difficulties here.
Okay, I can hear Brad.
As far as I know.
Jesse can hear you?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. I can hear your conversation.
We're not hearing anything back.
So they can't hear me. That's the problem.
Now I'm getting something.
Yeah. Okay,
you turn the volume up? I just got something right now.
It usually works when you turn the volume up, huh?
A little bit louder.
That's max.
Okay.
What about maximum up this one?
This is the Terry and Jesse Show. We're waiting for Brad Eli to fix some of their technology on their end, and we'll start. This is our Strength and Honor segment with the news on the faith and the culture.
About that.
Brad, can you hear me? This is Jess Romero.
Yeah, I can barely hear you right now. I still need a little bit more volume on this
end.
It's up all the way out here.
Let me...
we're up all the way out here.
Pop on this side. Is this thing turned up all the way?
Yeah. I mean, you hit the button, the little button that's right on...
Okay, I tried another ear. Let me try this one. Go ahead and talk.
Okay, Brad...
I can hear enough. It's pretty low, but I can hear it.
Okay. Well, let's proceed. Brad, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, and thanks for doing the
now
fourth
just,
segment.
Just cut out again. The audio just cut out again. I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hearing him, then it just cut out.
Well, we're going to be having church militant. Brad Eli is going to be talking about the three issues of the day. Here's the first issue they're going to talk about tonight. The Catholic Diocese in Dallas mandates mass for kids. What do you think about that? A diocese is threatening to expel kids of parents who resist. And, of course, the parents they're not happy. Parents have hired billboard trucks to protest outside diocesan offices. I'm glad to see these dads on duty, and I'm glad to see these moms. We need more moms. We need more mama bears like this to make sure that these Catholic diocesan schools don't expel our kids just because they're not masked up. The next segment that Church Militants is going to be talking about tonight, Brad, can you hear me? Is Mark Seitz. He shills for open borders amid vaccine crisis and against sex abuse crisis. So they'll be talking about that tonight, this evening. And also, can you believe that? A Canadian diocese is mandating a vax to attend Holy Mass.
Good.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, absolutely. We're good now.
Okay, hey, Brad. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. And I consider you guys the internal affairs of the Catholic Church. So what do you guys have for us tonight on Church Militant Evening News? What are some of the topics?
Well, we got bishops in the crosshairs tonight. I wish it wasn't that way. But we're going down to Dallas, Texas, okay? We're having Bishop Edward Burns. He put out a mandate in August for the Catholic schools, all the kids. I feel terrible for the kids, but all the kids have to wear masks at school. Well, it's taken a step further. Now, if parents are objecting to that mandate, the kids are going to get expelled, you know? And it's pretty rough down there. The parents have actually are coming on a campaign of billboards, hiring billboards to go on trucks, parking outside of Christ the King Church, which has a school attached, and other places around the diocese. Pretty rough on the kids these days, Catholic schools. Now, the next place is still in Texas. We have El Paso, Mark Seitz, Bishop Mark Seitz. He's plugging for open borders. He wants to do away with the Remain in Mexico policy, which is a Trump-era policy, that says, you know, if you're waiting to come into the country, let's get you all the paperwork. Just stay across the border until we get all the paperwork done. Well, that's not good enough. And that actually was upheld by the court. And the court said, no, you can't just do away with that this summer. So Bishop Seitz, though, he wants to, you know, they make a lot of money. Last year was something like $50 million in relocating migrants and that type of thing. Now, the worst one is going up into Canada, Newfoundland. Bishop Robert Daniels, just this Friday, this is going to knock your socks off. Just Friday, he says, no vax, no sacrament, no jab, no Jesus. Can you believe it? If you don't get the vaxports, vaccine passport, if you don't flash your passport to show that you were vaxxed, you don't get the sacraments.
Now, Brad, what's the name of this bishop? You got to say his name again. Bishop who?
Bishop Robert Daniels in Newfoundland. That's the most egregious thing that I've heard up and through all this right now. I mean, it started back in March of last year. Catholic Church didn't have to do it. They just closed all the parishes down one by one all the way across the country. And, you know, they're doubling down on it now with this. So how long is it going to take for that to start spreading across, you know, Canada and into America? So,
Brad, you know, we have two religions at war here. Let's just be honest. We have the cult of the COVID-19 pandemic with Pope Fauci, and he's got his acolytes. Their sacrament is fetal stem cell vaccinations. This is a whole religious cult. 6 feet apart, that's the liturgy. Put on a mask. All of this smacks of some type of a religious cult. And then we have the one true church, the Catholic Church, which has been infiltrated right now and compromised by these cancer cells that come from this COVID religious cult. So the church right now, that should be that patriarchal institution to defend her children, the church has been weakened by, as you guys have put out so well, day after day, week after week, the infiltration of sexual degenerates into the church, which has weakened the moral constitution of the church to fight against evil. What say you?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of interesting you take on the cult there. One of the things that calls to mind, I've heard reports that there's going to be seven shots rolling out. You had the two with say, Pfizer, Moderna. You're going to have these booster shots, supposed to be a total of seven shots before they're done. So it's kind of interesting, the seven sacraments, the seven shots. The fact that the moral fabric of the leadership of the church has been completely compromised probably goes back to Stalin's infiltration in 1922, ordering the infiltration of the seminaries. So that really can't be denied that there's a real fabric problem there. The third thing is we've gotten into this liberation theology, which is save the body and ignore the soul, and that whole corporal works of mercy but ignore all the spiritual works of mercy. That has to be something that has to be vetted and talked about. And we're really into that era right now. I can't do anything that's going to harm my body, even possibly harm my body. But, you know, miss the sacraments for a year or two and all, you know, that's okay. You know, no one fears going to hell anymore. And there's a whole lot of moral, bad moral theology steeped in all that. But we become Protestantized, you know, once saved, always saved and all that. So, you know, we could go on about that for a long time. But there's a problem there in the etymology or the eschatology, I should say, the eschatology of the bishops. You know, what's their end game? Save you from suffering in this lifetime or save you from an eternal suffering in the next? You know, they got to figure it out. So,
yeah, again, a lot of the bishops have become social justice warriors.
Absolutely.
And they forgot about the essence, the mission of the Catholic faith, which is the salvation of the human soul. Their job is not to tell us how many times to wash our hands or how many, you know, what mask to wear or social distancing. That's not within their purview. They're outside of their lane. The job of the church, the clergy, is to teach, govern, and sanctify according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the problem is, Brad, is that they seem to be, you know, so to speak, in bed with the enemy. And the reason is, I think they're tied up with the CCP and the Democrat Party and all the globalists because of the financial perks that they receive for their social justice programs. And as a result of this entanglement, you basically see them giving a mixed message. They're speaking more like political justice warriors than they are like successors of the apostles. What say you?
Well, the purse strings, you know, have been tying up their tongues for years, and we're going to have to get rid of some of the Judases in the church. But, you know, that stuff right there, that's God's going to have to do some house cleaning. And you know what? We may be on the verge of some big house cleaning coming on, and we're going to have to see it in the bigger picture for what it is, necessary, you know, cleaning of God's house.
Hey, Brad, just want to let you know that here at Virgin Most Powerful, we push Church Militant Evening News upon all our listeners. Are you guys growing since you guys have started Church Militant Evening News? Have you seen the numbers of listeners increase?
Yeah, we've been on pretty much since coming out of the elections, and that's when the evening news started to become more solidified, even though we were doing it as part of our election coverage. Our numbers have just been growing exponentially. I can't really totally say that it's only because of the evening news. We're coming into a very serious hard times here when many people had their blinders are just coming off, really started in about 2018. But then with the election, they're like, whoa, Biden's in the White House right now. Who'd have thought that was going to happen? And, you know, they're looking at their whole livelihood and their whole world is just look the chaos, you know, the Afghanistan withdrawal and the open borders and spending the dollar into oblivion and, you know, containers off your guys' coast out there in California. You got ship after ship just piling up and all the supply lines. I mean, everybody's seeing it now as a planned takeover. And really tune into Church Militant for getting good, solid reporting on a lot of these things. Not, you know, half-winged or anything. It's good, solid reporting. You guys do a good job here. So,
yeah, no, you guys sure do. And I want to compliment you guys, Brad, because, I mean, for about 20, 25 years, I was cutting my teeth on Fox News and other stations. But now all that has been replaced by Church Militant Evening News, and I promote it far and wide. Thanks, Brad, for coming in. Thank you for the update. God bless you and the staff out there. Keep up the good work.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Terry and Jesse Show. And let's remember the words of St. Padre Pio. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. And let's remember to pray America great again. We're all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Set yourselves apart from this corrupt generation. Keep Christ in your heart. Pray your rosary every day. Read your Bible. God bless you. Keep the faith.